Get that started. Is that still going? Yes. Okay. Awesome. All right. Well, round two. This is going to be the choppiest series we've ever had because what did I start it 2 weeks ago? Then I left town. Then we're meeting today, and then we don't meet next week. And then we get together on the 5th, and then I leave town for 3 weeks. So you're only getting a 3 week series. Sorry. Danny will pick it up there. And I've got to get me one of those little thingy-ma-boppers if I'm going to do this more often, right? That way. Okay, so yeah, the title didn't exactly come through. I think basically what I'm trying to say is last week we talked about why the Sabbath, right? Or 2 weeks ago. This week we're going to talk a little bit about what is Sabbath and really also what is it not? Because I don't know about you, I grew up a little bit kind of thinking something completely different, and the applicability wasn't there, et cetera. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. So let's go ahead and get started. Remember, the goal of this series is to try to give you some insight into what is the Sabbath. Last week, as I mentioned, we talked a little bit about why should we even keep the Sabbath? What does God say about the Sabbath? And ultimately, is it really even applicable for us today? And so when we looked at last time, if you remember, and for those that weren't here, we clearly saw that Sabbath is part of God's plan, right? He obviously outlines that. He actually commands it. He calls it holy. It's part of, if you remember, the Ten Commandments. It's part of the Genesis story. God rests. My question to us is, if God not needs, but rests, shouldn't we? There's got to be something there, right? Sabbath is a rhythm of creation. And if you, John Mark Comer, who some of this information came from with Practicing the Way, if you've never listened to this guy, I would highly encourage you to. Very insightful, really good around, I'm going to call it spiritual formation, spiritual growth. Rules of life is kind of what they title it. Really interesting. And that's, like I said, that was kind of the genesis. And then ultimately, God, oh, sorry, John Mark Comer, Comer. And then it's called Practicing the Way, is the name of the book that he has, but he's also got a podcast and some other stuff. Anyway, the command ultimately is remember the Sabbath, right? We saw that biblically 2 weeks ago to walk through it. So let's talk about what is the Sabbath from a not perspective, right? The Sabbath is not a vacation. You can take vacations, but the Sabbath is not a vacation. It actually doesn't cost you any money. So you need to think through it from that perspective. There's no money element to keeping the Sabbath. It's also not a time to sit around and pray all day and read scripture. So let's get that straight as well, right? It's not a day off or a Saturday to catch up on chores with Jesus sprinkled in. It's just not, right? It's not that. Sabbath is not overtly or inherently, sorry, religious. What it really is, it's a time to stop. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. And last but not least, it is not a list of laws. Anybody remember the Texas Blue Laws? Yes? Some of you have probably heard about the Texas Blue Laws. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Texas Blue Laws just because I could not do this, right? So the Texas Blue Laws were actually established in 1863. But in 1961, they kind of modernized it and created a list of 42 specific items that were to be restricted in which they could not be sold on consecutive weekend days. I did not know this. I thought it was just on Sunday. But it's actually the law is they can't be sold on consecutive weekend days, meaning if you're going to sell alcohol on Saturday, you can't sell it on Sunday. But if you don't sell it on Saturday, you can sell it on Sunday. Go figure, right? I did not know that. The purpose was to actually encourage religious observance and promote Sunday as a day of worship and rest. So the goal, the purpose actually wasn't bad. It's kind of interesting that the government in the 60s would actually establish this and go forward with it. Thanks, James. I have the whole list on the next slide, so I will get there. But this is actually why you can't buy liquor in Texas on Sundays. You can buy beer and wine after 10 a.m. Not sure of the whole 10 a.m. part, but you can buy beer and wine, but you cannot buy liquor. Amy's going, really? Is that right?
I thought it was 12. I thought it was 2. Yeah, I thought it was noon.
No, it's 10. I recently ran
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you. I asked Aaron to go investigate and research for me. He took care of that.
Went on a beer run, didn't
he? It was wine.
Yeah, right.
And did you know an automobile dealership technically cannot be open on Sundays? Or Saturdays, right? They have to pick one or the other. They cannot do both. Sorry. Yeah. But not, yeah, but then I think you can, officially they're not open. I think officially they can't, the term in that space is brick a car. They can't actually sell you the car. But I think there are people in there that will actually wait on you and serve you. But officially, I don't think they can sell you a car. One, or, you know, if they don't, you know what I mean, that type of thing. Okay, so what are these wacky laws? I'm not going through them all, but that's all 42 of them. And you're going to go, really? Isn't that crazy?
What, you can't sell those things?
No, no, it's not that you can't sell them. You can't sell them on both days. But remember going into, these are blue laws. No, no, not now. Oh, sorry. All of this got repealed in 1985. Yeah, except for the automotive and the liquor. But all of these, you're fine now. But I can remember walking into a store where literally it was roped off, yeah. Right? It was nuts. Yeah. It's just, I mean, you just look at some of this stuff. Anyway. So.
No books.
Yeah, no books. Shame on you. No books. No reading.
It's kind of weird. Then how would you know?
Which one? Which one?
The clocks.
The clocks? Well, you know. I don't know. Maybe it promoted, I don't know. I don't know. It just, yeah. I mean, some of this is about pushing back on consumerism, right? And you look at the underlying element, and I think we talked a little bit about that. I actually had planned on spending almost an entire session on that, on Sabbath almost being, well, not almost, being a little bit of a pushback, right? Fighting against the element of society, of consumerism. And then I realized I'm going to be out of town. So we won't do that.
So basically,
go ahead.
Most retail stores were closed on Sunday.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
Because if you closed on all that stuff, you might as well be closed.
That's right.
The grocery store, I remember it's the grocery store.
Yeah, the grocery stores would have this one section. But yeah, any retail store pretty much was shut down. Yeah, because there's not, yeah. And this was pre-Walmart, right? When did Walmart come out? I can't remember. Anyway. Yeah, sometime, right?
Yeah.
Give or take. But same thing, right? But the grocery stores was really where you saw this because they were still open selling food, but they had to keep you from buying the other stuff. Oh, yeah, they did have Kmart. That's right. The Kmart. Anyway, all right. So what is what the Sabbath is? I know, my grammar's just kind of all wacky today. I was trying to do something cute and it just didn't come out. So, it is cute? Thank you. Thank you, Chelsea. I appreciate that. So let's talk a little bit about it. Sabbath, it's rest at the heart of God. What does that mean, right? Ultimately, as Chuck mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago, Sabbath actually comes from the Hebrew term Shabbat. Shabbat means to stop, to cease. So you're stopping, you're ceasing. To a certain extent, you're doing nothing. But the idea that I need you to get in your head is it's about stopping. Now, my question to you is, how often do we actually stop in our lives? We stop. Not things end, but we stop. We purposely say, time out, I'm going to stop. That is very hard for me to do.
Why?
It's constant. I mean, yeah, I got to get things done, James. I got places to go, people to see, things to do, right? Thank you, James. Keep going. Thank you, Amy. That's what I'm here for. I'm trying to give you...
I understand. The reason I was saying that is I think the stop issue is a trust issue, and rest is to do trust.
Yeah.
We're trusting God to do all that you're talking about.
You're jumping ahead, James.
Sorry,
next time.
Sorry.
So... it's a total refraining from work, but the goal here is actually to be renewed and recreated. And I think that's the important part, right? Why would God have us stop? Why would God say, stop, rest, do nothing? Because he recognizes that from a longevity perspective, there's value there. When we go and go and go, I mean, I think we've all, either some of us have experienced burnout, or we've known people that have gone through burnout, or our lives feel like they're burned out because we're constantly going. We don't stop. We might slow down, but we don't stop. And I think that's the important message here about this. And last but not least is rest is not the absence of doing. The rest that we see in the scriptures is leisure that God wants us to have because it's God honoring. So it's leisure. That's an important term. It's stopping, it's resting, it's taking leisure. And the next time we get together, we're going to talk practically, what does that mean? And you know what? That could mean different things for different people in this room. Chuck and I were chatting about it Friday night. He's got three kids under seven, eight,
nine.
Couldn't remember how old Scout was, right? I mean, time, leisure, resting is different than it is for those of us that are empty nesters, right? And I think those are things that you need to think through, or we have to, and that's kind of the message I'll have next time. But those are at the very high level what we're looking at. Eugene Peterson, in his book, Christ Plays in 10,000 Places, says, Sabbath is a deliberate act of interference, an interruption of our work each week, a decree of no work, so that we are able to notice, to attend, to listen, to assimilate this comprehensive and majestic work of God to orient our work in the work of God. We are called without exception to regular rhythms of stoppage. It's all about rest and sustainability. I think we talked last time that if you don't stop and, you know, and enjoy things or take a step back, we miss so much in life. We miss God's creation. How many times, one example he was giving is, you go for a walk through the forest, and there's a good chance, maybe, that you might see a deer. Are you going to see that deer if you never go on the walk through the forest? You don't, right? So you've got to stop. Using that analogy, and continue, you got to go for the walk. You have to actually prepare yourself to see this. Otherwise, you're not going to see it. it won't be there. And that's hard because that is completely against society. Remember, we talked about that last time, right? Society says hard work, go, no stopping. You have a job to do. I'm going to reward you if you do that job. I'm going to reward you for working 60 hours a week. But if you don't stop, give me a minute, James. If you don't stop, then you can't see. You can't see what God's doing. And I think that's really important for us to think about when we take a step back and look at this from a but God, I'm busy. I've got children. I've got sporting events. I've got work I have to get done. I've got dinner to cook. I've got whatever. But God rested. But God rested. It's a hard one to swallow for me, to be honest. James?
I had a job from a guy, got it from UPS, cleaning swimming pools. And I had to crawl into the jacuzzi once. I thought, well, I'm here, I might as well turn it on. And I turned it on. I'm sitting there, and it's a beautiful mansion in Highland Park. And guy walks in from the garage, and I'm sitting there in his jacuzzi. And he said, "Hi, I'm just working on this." He said, "I know." He said, "This is a wonderful jacuzzi." He said, "Yeah, I wouldn't know. I never get the chance to use it." And I thought, you don't get the chance to enjoy it. And I understand he's working hard to pay for it all. But I think the point is, he doesn't have the stoppages, enjoyment. Mm. God stops and enjoys the creation.
Mm. Thanks. Wasn't sure where you were going with that, James. I know. But just for the record, so. All right, so there's really four, we're going to call them movements of Sabbath that we're going to look at real quick, right? We have to stop, rest, delight, and then worship. And you're going to see how these kind of layer on top of each other. So, what is stopping? As I mentioned, the Hebrew word Shabbat means, at its most literal sense, to stop, to cease. To be done. To be done. I don't know about you. I've got an inbox full of email that never seems to go away. Right? No matter how many times, they just never seem to go away. They're always there. They will always be there. But at some point in time, you've got to stop. You just have to walk away. And I think in some cases we do that. We do walk away from that, but then we walk away to do other things, right? So the other aspect is, I think what's ironic is, how many ads do you see out there that are all about enjoying this restful time with your family or with your dog or with your partner? Or, you know, if you start paying attention a little bit, that you know, the world of advertising plays on this. We all want this. We all want rest. We all want the time of relaxation, but yet we never really get to it.
Because it costs money. And like the guy, we have to work so hard to be able to afford that rest, that relaxation, that vacation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you got to keep going. That's right.
But it's like you said, it's not a vacation.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah. So that's stopping. What does resting look like? You know, rest sounds wonderful. Rest is actually countercultural. It's the countercultural act of resistance of a world at war with God and His kingdom of peace. I stole that directly from John Mark Comer. It's countercultural. We've talked a little, you know, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, right? And I think for me, this was helpful in beginning to think about Sabbath in a different way. If I recognize what's happening to me during the week in all manner, all of these things are coming at me, whether it's just traditional work, if it's advertising, if it's attitudes, if it's just the way I think. Those things are all bombarding us during the week. Rest is countercultural. And it made me step back and think about, I would get, true story, Amy even said it's time for me to be human. But true story, right? I work with a lot of people that are international. I work globally, right? Probably 3/4 of the people I work with don't live in the U.S. I will give the Europeans credit. They will take time off. And they will take time off and they won't be available, right? That drove me nuts for a long time. Because I'm like, I'm taking time off, but I'm available. Who's right and who's wrong, right? I mean, there are things of that. And the attitude is, oh, well, they're just lazy, right? Gotta love the French.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, that's a different topic. I hope nobody in here is from France. No, anyway. Anyway.
I actually take exception to that, Paul.
Okay.
I am French.
Okay. I was like, really? I didn't know that.
French Puerto Rican.
French Puerto Rican, yeah. Yeah, it's a sect in Puerto Rico, right.
So I was going to say, in Europe, some places, they still... They stop on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing you can do on a Sunday.
Yeah.
The town becomes a ghost town.
Yeah.
I actually loved it.
I mean, it is kind of refreshing when everybody's doing it, because then it's culturally acceptable.
Exactly.
If not everybody's doing it, then it's countercultural.
Yeah.
That's the hard part, right? Yes, that's exactly right.
You have to take your vacation.
I don't know about you all, but I found from COVID, our HR team started pushing us to take time off because nobody wanted to take time off because you couldn't travel, right? Anyway, but let's go back to rest. You've got to plan to rest. And this was something he said that I thought, oh man, I didn't even think about that. I have to set my day up or set my week up so that I am ready to rest. It will not happen through osmosis. It won't happen unless I plan it to happen. So it's a little bit contradictory, but when you think about it, let's fast forward for a minute, right? The Jews sell it, well, the traditional Sabbath in our space, in the Western culture of Christianity, is Saturday night to Sunday. So Saturday, sundown, sorry, to Sunday. Is that right? Yeah, yeah. No. That's on the Sabbath. That's the traditional Jewish approach. Yes, sorry. Friday night. I'm just killing this. Friday night, sundown. 20 minutes before sundown on Friday night. To sundown on Saturday, okay? So the idea, though, is you're spending time, maybe on Thursday, preparing for the Sabbath, right? You're perhaps getting meals ready, getting that together, making sure that anything that maybe could pop up is identified, or maybe you make specific plans with someone that you're going to celebrate Sabbath with. You know, those types of things. So it takes planning in order to rest. And I think that's the important part here. And as he mentioned, right, practicing Sabbath starts with stopping, with being ready, and then being able to rest. You've got to stop first. Then you've got to be ready. Then the rest will come. If you don't stop, it's not even going to happen, right? It's like walking through the forest. He gets into this, you know, where do you feel most tired, right? And what is the biggest drain for you? Is it physical? Is it mental? Is it spiritual? That's something to walk away from. As you think about resting, what is it? Where do you need the most rest? Yes, Amy.
Maybe you'll cover this later, but as my little box checking brain gets in, how do we keep this from being very legalistic?
Yes, and that's a great point. Yes.
I'm already like, oh man, I gotta start practicing. I'm planning ahead, and right. All this is stressing me out. Right. Because I'm planning for Sabbath.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I agreed. And I think that's a delicate thing. I think especially for, I'm going to say, at least for myself, where you end up wanting to check the boxes, wanting to make it about, well, I can't do this, but I can do this. That's not what this is about. And we'll talk about that next time, right? Just from a practical perspective. And folks, I'm going to tell you right now, fast forward, there isn't a formula that's going to fit everybody, in my personal opinion. This is the opinion of Paul Barth, so take it for what it's worth, right? In my book, what I'm trying to get out of this is, what's the motivation? What are the key elements? And then how do I begin to apply that to my life? And what we'll talk about next time as well is, you know what? Maybe right now you can't do a 24-hour Sabbath. Maybe you can just do a 4-hour Sabbath. Great, then do a 4-hour Sabbath, right? Prepare, plan, do a 4-hour Sabbath. Whatever. There's no right or wrong answer here. But I think what we've learned is God is commanding this. God wants us to have this. God rested. God rested. There's something to be said for that. Sorry for the preaching. Some days I wonder if I... Never mind. Anyway, now let's look at delighting. So we've stopped. We've rested. Now delight begins to come. John 16:33. We will have trouble in this world. Right? We all know we're going to have trouble. God does not promise us that we won't have trouble. How many... new believers think, I've now become a believer, I know Christ, and all my world's great. Everything's going to be aligned, right? We are going to have trouble. But there's an element of a delight as part of that, right? Our joy may be in you, and your joy may be complete. So even though we're going through challenges, and I don't know if any of you, I know I'm spewing a bunch of podcasts at you right now, but the Bible Project did an Advent series. If you haven't watched it, one of them is on joy. It's excellent. The video is excellent. It's like 5 minutes. I watched it this morning. But it's this element of we have a choice to recognize if we're going to be joyful in our those times, right? In those times of trouble, we do have a choice. It doesn't mean we have to love what we're going through, but there is an element there of recognizing that God has provided provision, that God is here and in control. And what does that mean for us? So Sabbath is designed by God as a day to give yourself fully to delight in God's world, in your life in it, and ultimately in God Himself. But you can't delight if you don't stop and rest. And He even warns, this won't come immediately. This will take time. I don't know about you, but when I try to take a step back, and I know we talked 6 months ago about contemplative prayer and just stopping and listening to God, that's very hard for me in my brain because it's just going. But it takes time for it to finally slow down and chill, where then the noise starts to go down so that I can listen. Same thing, right? There are times you've got to be able to stop, rest, then you begin to delight.
I'm wondering,
concept also of fasting.
Yes.
I'm thinking about that because, you know, in those times, it took all day to fix your supper.
Right.
We don't have that now. But what about media? I really think that's also another. It's not working, and we think we're resting.
Oh. No, we're really not.
And I thought about my kids in summertime after school would be done.
Right.
My other folks would be done with school, and then they would become at home with a little bored. And then it was when they got creative and they kind of morphed into something, and in the way they had rest.
You see that kind of thing a lot with, like, back to the going out in the woods and enjoying nature. Like, people go out and they, like, go on walks and they go on runs, but they're plugged in.
Yeah.
So and there, you know, but not really.
And I do that. I walk almost every morning. I'm listening to things. Yeah, I'm listening to Jesus stuff, but I'm still listening to things, right? Every so often, I unplug and I just walk and I just listen and I just, yeah. But it's hard. That's not what we normally do. We want to be fed all the time. Okay, last, we stop, we rest, we delight, then we get to worship. Now, Eugene Peterson says that Sunday in Western Christianity has become a bastard Sabbath, the illegitimate offspring of the Sabbath and a secular day off. I think he kind of says it like it is, right? Yeah, Amy's like, Amy, oh, that's interesting, right. Exodus 28, we talked about last week. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, to sanctify it, set it apart, dedicate it to God for His special purpose. It's not just a day to sleep in, but it's a day to relax and do whatever brings joy to you. Now, he says it's actually more than that, which it is. It is a time of worship. It's a time to reorient yourself back to God. But that doesn't mean all we're doing is sitting around and reading Scripture and praying. Right? We talked about that earlier. That's right. It can be. And the goal would be that it kind of moves its way down that path. That once you've stopped, once you've rested, once you begin to delight, then worship starts to come. That takes time, takes practice. Try not to be legalistic with this, right? We'll talk about that more next time. So let's talk briefly. We got a couple of minutes. Just as a group, right? If you look through that, do you find that you can stop? Stopping is a choice that each of us have to make. You will never be done. This one kind of hit me like a ton of bricks, I got to tell you. This was like, oh man, when do I stop? Because I am always thinking about what is the next thing I need to do that I've got to get done. Anybody? Do you find that you can stop?
I don't really tell people I can't work Sundays. In my industry, that's kind of like...
Is that a no-no?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay, all right. So
turn
you just turn it everything off? Okay.
Always on, no vibrate.
You're right.
Yeah. My emails stack up and I don't care.
Okay.
But, you know, people just know I'm incognito.
Okay.
I do that same thing with work. It's like people I work in, like we work in IT and all this. And it's like they get an email, they respond. They get a text, they respond.
Right.
8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 4 in the morning, 3 in the morning. So, like when the day is done, if somebody calls me, I'm not answering. If they send me an email, I'm not responding. If they send me a text, it's like they know what time I work.
Right.
From this block. If you can't call in that time, then you got to wait.
Okay.
He did like a healthy habits series, I think last year or something here at the church. And one of the things like training yourself to like not engage in social media and emails at a certain time in the evening. And I feel like for me, like that really helped me kind of like take a minute to like, you know, myself and things and turn my brain off and not like have a not restful sleep because I'm constantly worrying about what's going on. So like by a certain time in the night, you just put your devices away. You stop looking at them and you train yourself to like not worry about what the world wants from you. That was a super helpful thing.
Hold on 1 second, Danny. Dave, you had something?
Well, two things. One, I find just sitting out by the fire in the backyard very relaxing.
Uh-huh.
It reminds me of camping.
Mm.
Even 30 minutes of that really recharges me and gives me some rest.
But okay.
My work does not allow our emails to work outside of the U.S. And I've found it so...
Interesting.
So good to just know that I cannot check my emails.
Hmm.
And I've really noticed that that is really good for me.
Interesting. Okay.
So, there is no way in the world the work, my work, was thinking of the Sabbath. It's
security. Right.
But there is a benefit.
So right.
When I take time off in the U.S., I always check.
Right. Yeah, right. It's hard. These things are deadly. They are deadly. They've got some crazy stats about the number of people that sleep with their phone next to them. What's the very, yeah, Marguerite's kind of giving that grin, right? What's the first thing you check when you wake up in the morning? What's the very first thing you do? You know, those types of things. You're like, ooh. And then they even recommend, ultimately, put that damn thing in the drawer. When I brought that up to Lisa, she was like, what? No, wait, we can't do that, right? So immediately the excuses started. Yeah, I know. I get it. I get it, right? I know you are, Tricia. Thank you. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Sorry, Cindy, you had something? No? You lost it. Okay, Cindy?
I was just going to say, I tried it last week. I tried on Saturday to take a Sabbath. I made it to 4 o'clock, and then I had to make the bed. I cannot tolerate an unmade bed.
But okay, so see, my argument would be, I don't see that breaking the Sabbath. I think just making the bed and doing some general things... Well, yes. So that's, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a couple of weeks, right? Because you
just ruined my house.
Yeah. Well.
I was going to add one thing.
Okay.
It's kind of a side discussion, but I think it's related, and we got to be. Huh?
It's the bunny rabbit. Go ahead.
Yeah. So and I realize that there are people who, because of the nature of their work, they need to be more available. You know, they're kind of. If you're at the top of a company, you know, where a lot of people are depending on you to make decisions on a daily basis, then obviously you're probably going to be way more connected to media, right? Emails, text, whatever. But I sometimes wonder, at least it happened to me some years ago, when I saw myself consistently responding to texts and emails and stuff at late night. And it hit me one day that I got a sense, a feeling that I was important. Like my ego felt good that I was that important that I needed to respond to this thing.
Interesting, yeah.
And I remembered, I stopped doing that because I remembered a conversation I had with an employer many years ago who told me that one of the most important things, and he was at the top of it, right? He was the owner, and he was saying that he stopped responding to emails many years ago, and one of the main reasons was that he needed to trust God with anything that was going to happen overnight, number one, that was the most important thing, but number two, he said that most problems that people bring up are no longer problems in the morning.
Oh, interesting, yeah. Right.
So it's like because people are all the time doing this and wanting to do this, they feel like everything is like a consistent state of emergency.
Right.
But when there's nobody to respond, they kind of put it down and then wake up the next morning and realize, oh, you know, this is not a big deal. After a good night's sleep, it is no longer a big deal. That's what he said. And it made perfect sense.
Yeah. And that's interesting. You mentioned the whole overnight thing that, and we'll talk a little bit more about this next time, that Comer brings up the fact that the Jewish Sabbath starts in the evening, right? So it's sundown, a meal, you go to sleep. It's almost like fasting, right? You go to sleep, so by the time you wake up, you're kind of halfway done. to a certain extent, right? You wake up and you've got the remainder of the day. But it's kind of like it allows you to ease your way in, right? Because as you said, Cindy, right, you did it till 4 o'clock and then you just had to make the bed or whatever. Bless you. So anyway, we'll get to some of this next time. We probably won't finish, but at the same time, we'll at least, once again, my goal, let's just think through this, right? What does this mean in your life? Where could you make this work without it being legalistic? And that's a hard part. That's a hard one for all of us, especially those of us that are wanting to get stuff done. So, all right, they are beating down the doors to get in this place. Even though we have till 10:15, that is the agreement. Anyway, on that note, let me just pray for us. Lord, thank you. Thank you again for your glory, your majesty, your provision, your love. Thank you for this week. Lord, help us just to remember and take a step back to know that you are God, that you have given your Son for us. And just help us to remember that as the busyness of this time overwhelms us. Help us to take a step back and breathe and enjoy it and relax. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now go, go, go.
I'm going to be feeling a little bit nervous.